We're here. How are you, folks? God, I think I'm coughing from the vape. It's because I had to do all that exercise to pick it up off the ground. Welcome to another episode of the Josh Potter Show. Oh boy, had a wonderful time in old Chandler, Arizona this past weekend. Thank you to everybody who came out. Plenty of roaches scurrying out from under the floorboards to come check out the show. We got lots of shows coming up. Next up, Huntsville, Alabama's next, April 26th and 27th. May 3rd, Seattle, that's on sale. Chicago just announced it, happening May 17th and 18th at the old Comedy Bar. Come on out to that. Saw a Cubbies win in spring training and got myself all excited for Chicago come May. May 30th, Washington, D.C. May 31st, Allentown, Pennsylvania with Tim Butterly. And then in June, we got the Houston, Texas dates, June 14th and 15th. June 28th and 29th, we're going to be in Ohio. One is Cleveland, one is not announced yet, so we'll find out. Ooh. August 15th, Omaha. August 16th and 17th, Des Moines. We are all over the place. Get to a new website, Josh Potter, thejoshpotter.com. That's thejoshpotter.com to pick up all your tickets, and you can find out about Behind the Jeans, which airs live every Wednesday on the Your Mom's House channel, and also my Patreon, patreon.com/thejoshpottershow, and on Twitch, you know, if you want to follow along there. We're coming back with Major League Baseball 24, baby. Cannot wait. But we have a very special guest today, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, and she's got a new special called Childless MILF. It's on the old YouTube there. Go check it out. She's from This Bitch Podcast and the Kim Congdon Takeover. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Kim Congdon.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So nice to be here again.
It's so nice to have you here again.
It's so fun.
Is there anything else you want to plug that I missed?
I got a few shows coming up. I'm at the Comedy Store doing my fourth show of the comedy dating show Love Fucks.
Ooh, I've been on it twice, by the way.
It's really, really, really fun. So come check it out if you're in LA. And I will be in Houston at the Riot Comedy Festival.
That's where I'm going to be.
Oh, yeah? You're doing the festival?
No, not the festival. There's a festival. They didn't ask me to do the festival.
Oh, okay.
Sadly.
Okay, well, I'll be there the 4th through the 7th. And then I got a This Bitch and Friends at the Comedy Store April 18th. Again, fire lineup. Whitney Cummings. I can't remember anyone else because I'm so
Annie Letterman.
Jetski Johnson. Bestelling. Me and Sarah Weinschenk. Really fun lineup. Good stuff happening.
I'm
come
so
see that.
Good at remembering everyone else's things that they've got going
Same,
on.
Same, but not my own. Not my own ever. Patreon.com/Kim Congdon. And just check out the special, Childless MILF.
Yes, Childless MILF. She didn't take my name for it, which was, what was mine for it? I forget. Barren Thought, I think is what I said.
I considered it. It was a close second.
Barren thought. Or no, it was Barren Sex Pot, I think I also came up. I don't know. But either way, you came up with
I like Barren
name.
Thought.
I thought we'd start today's program with an email, and then we'll get into something that maybe you can help me out with. But
great.
First, the email is interesting because this is a subject that comes up quite a bit. And I thought it's definitely prudent in today's, world because of the whole Kate Middleton thing. Have you been following the Kate Middleton drama?
Yeah, she's missing or something, right?
Well, she had abdominal surgery, which I don't know what that entails necessarily. Maybe a muscle. Maybe she had some gut issues.
Sounds
I really
like
don't
a
know
tummy
what
a tuck.
Stomach surgery would be what guts would entail. I think abdominal means the fucking muscles in your stomach, right? Am I wrong? I don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
She worked out too much?
Yeah, she just had such a raging six-pack that it split in half and became a 12-pack and she had to get surgery on it. I don't know. But either way, Kate Middleton has been evidently like, everyone thinks she's dead.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So there's been weird Photoshops. It's just like, I mean, in today's world with AI and everything else, you'd think that the royal family would do better at faking it if they were indeed fake. Now it makes me think she's real and the rest of them are fake.
Whoa.
Yeah, now my brain's on a complete pretzel. But it's not only her that in the royal family that they think is dead. I saw a thing today that reports came out. They said, despite rumors and hopes, which hopes is a weird thing to put in, King Charles III still alive. They thought he died yesterday during St. Paddy's Day.
Wait, despite hopes, he's still alive?
I know, that's what the article headline said. Despite rumors and hopes.
Oh, no.
I was like, hopes? That seems fucked up. But it's so weird. It's like, how long are we going to get to the point where, you know how people are like, birds aren't real?
Mm-hmm.
How long until they're just like, the royal family, that's all AI?
Well, yeah, they do look. Have you seen the videos of Meghan Markle? She looks, there's like, anytime they post about them, they look like it's AI. They Meghan, look like real people. It looks like CGI. Yeah.
Well, Meghan Markle, I don't even think she counts as royal family anymore. She's been, they left her and Harry left, right? Because they wanted to be normals. And then they came over here and Netflix or somebody, no, Spotify, I'm not sure whom it was, gave them a bag to do a podcast that lasted like 3 episodes. They were terrible at it. She wasn't even showing up to do her own. Imagine this. Imagine, if you will. I had set questions for you, and I gave them to you. And I said, come shoot these questions. And then you sat down here with Alex and answered the questions that he while he asked them. And then she comes in and films the questions separately.
What do you mean she films them separately?
She does another shoot. Complete, like they
Answers without you in the room.
She doesn't answer. You answer without her in the room, and then she comes and fills in the little blanks. They come in and they go, yeah, it seems also, for, by the way, you know, in an editing sense, ridiculously, like, out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, just do it. Just ask the questions, and then you can cut them together. But this one, it's like they have to edit her into it, and it seems so unnatural and disjointed. It's just such a weird thing to do, but nevertheless, maybe
she turns out the royals aren't good at podcasting.
Yeah, go figure, right?
Yeah,
but you know, all this talk, it brings me back to Princess Diana. And do you remember where you were when Princess Diana died? That's a common theme on this podcast. Where were you?
Am I crazy to think she died in about second or third grade?
1997.
Oh, 97. Yeah, I was right. 97. Yeah.
So you were too young to give a shit? I mean, I was pretty young too. I was 11.
I knew that a pretty woman had died who was a princess. And that made me really sad as a 7-year-old girl. I don't know. That's all I needed to know.
You'd think a 7-year-old girl would know everything about Princess Diana.
No, I didn't have parents that like taught me things or a school that did that either.
Well, my mom and my, I don't know if my sister was, but my mom certainly was.
I swear
pretty
to God,
obsessed with Princess Diana.
I had the conversation with my sister the other day, and I asked that both my sisters. I'm like, do you have any memory of mom being like A, B, like anything, like anything ever? And they were all like, no, dude, no,
that's wild.
Nothing.
Because like, I don't think-
I'm self-taught. Every year, every grade I went to, every year, I'd start off the first day of school being like, how does everybody know this stuff?
Weird.
Yeah, I was like already behind.
I was kind of the opposite. My mom... You know, here's the thing, folks. I love my mom, but she's a daffy lady. She's not like
what does that mean?
She's not the smartest lady I've ever come across. Mm-hmm. My mother, and I'm talking in terms of like book smart and maybe even a little street smart. But my mom did do a great job at teaching me stuff when I was like really young. Like I knew how to read like well before kindergarten. So when I got into kindergarten, I was like reading pretty well, and the teachers were like, oh, that's great. And I felt like I felt like a genius.
I got into kindergarten and they're like, we're gonna learn how to read. And I was like, what does read mean? What is that?
Quite the opposite for me. I go, why do I even have to be here? I was like annoyed that I had to go do school.
I swear to God, 9 years old when I learned what my middle name was, I think.
That's so funny.
My mom just never cared to tell us anything.
Did you like school when you first started going, or were you like, I want to stay home, or were you like, this is exciting? My brain feels.
I didn't like school because I did always feel behind. I felt like I didn't understand, and everyone else did. And then there was like one year where I went to a new school in fourth grade, and the prettiest girl in our class was there, and she was obviously like the pretty girl. Mm-hmm. And my friend that I made friends with was like, that's the prettiest girl in our class and she gets the best grades. And I was like, well, I can do one of those. And that was the year I got good grades, and that was it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So you use spite to get better grades.
Yeah, I spite got straight A's that year and then never again.
Because I was going to say, there is at some point where you must have caught up to the class, you know, in terms of like learning capabilities.
No, I was kind of an idiot for a long time. I would get literally really bad grades in everything.
Did you have to go to that special room for certain things?
They put me in there, and then they were like, you don't belong. You're just like, you're just kind of not paying attention. But they tested it out to see if I needed it. And I was like, oh, I got to get out of here, dude. There's kids like headbutting golf carts in here. and then I got out of it. But
that's the thing. There was like a little program where I got to go. I mean, I don't know if they were trying to like instill like inclusion or whatever, but I got to go to that class to like almost be like a tutor for like certain things, which was like, you know, when we were very young. And it was weird being in there. You'd see, like, you know, like you said, people like bashing their head in the stuff, you know, as people licking windows or what have you. But then you got a guy who's just like, this poor guy's just in a wheelchair. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He doesn't belong. He's probably really smart.
He's like, I just have nerve damage.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, I don't know.
Meanwhile, he has to learn, like, with these people. It was
yeah,
fucked up.
There was no separation. If you were, if you had braces, frizzy hair, red hair, or you were in a wheelchair, you were in that class. Like, they didn't care.
How fucked up is it? Like, I have thick glasses. How close was I to being put into that fucking room?
You know what I mean? I think you were, and they told you they were the tutor. They're like, all right, you just teach the other ones, okay?
That's so funny.
The ones I can hear or whatever.
But I have talked about it on this podcast quite a bit about Princess Diana's death and where I was, because I remember my mom woke me up in the middle of the night, 11 years old, to tell me Princess Diana died in
Why wouldn't she let you just sleep and tell you in the morning?
I don't know.
Don't think that I'd wake up my 11-year-old to give them news that anyone's died. You know what? Let him rest one more night knowing there's a princess in the world.
Well, the odd thing is 2 weeks later, my cousin Sherry died in a car accident, and my mom once again decided to wake me up to tell me. And I thought about it, like, looking back on it, I think, like, did she just go, well, I already set the precedent with Princess Diana.
Oh, yeah.
I can't just let him sleep through this one. He'll think, what the hell?
Yeah, that's true.
You woke me up for my cousin and not my... But anyway, so I've talked about it quite a bit, you know, with other past guests and where they might have been. Some older ones remember quite a bit, obviously.
I can't really remember.
Because there was no internet. And we showed a video where there were people at a party who, like... This is how my parents found out, too. They were at a party, and someone called the party, like, on the landline, and was like, Princess Diana died, and then the whole party, like, found... It was like...
Oh, I saw those gay guys.
Yes, yes, yes. It was just
cards.
Like that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
yeah.
why we played.
That was a great video.
Great video. It brings... It's kind of... Despite the part that they're, you know, witnessing someone die, or, like...
And that they're gays living freely.
Yes, yes.
Besides those things, it's real realistic.
They weren't living very freely. They were closed inside one of their houses playing board games.
That's
true. It's not like they were like in the streets waving the rainbow in the 90s. But, you know, it was nostalgic to look back upon. And like then they go over to the TV and turn it on and find the news channel and everything. And they're in front of this tube TV watching. It was like a little, there was some purity to it.
Remember when you had to wiggle the antenna?
Oh, sure. I mean, now you have to put it on the wall or whatever. It's still
there. Are there still antennas on TVs?
And you say that word strange.
And...
antennas? You sound like you're in the South all of a sudden. You get one of them antennas?
Okay, wait, hold on.
It's antenna.
A TV antenna.
And I think, plural, it's antennae.
Antennae. Well, it's a TV antenna.
Yes, there you go. You got it that time.
Antenna.
Yes.
What was I saying?
Antenna.
Antenna?
Yeah, you were like, get one of them antennas.
Yeah.
So someone sent in joshpottershow@gmail.com. They sent this email regarding Princess Diana. It says, hey, Josh, this was a topic last month and I'm late writing in, but I will always remember the night Princess Diana died. My brother and I were best friends with another pair of brothers in our neighborhood. And it was either a Friday or a summer night. Yes, definitely over a weekend. Because we had a sleepover planned. Our families went out to dinner, but all I remember thinking was, I can't wait to go home and play video games as a group. We returned home and my friend's mother got a call and said, turn on the news. Something happened to Princess Diana. Both families were in our living room watching the wreckage of the car. I could care less. I wanted to get to this epic sleepover and whoop my friend's ass in GoldenEye or Smash Brothers. I didn't even know who she was. I blurted out loudly, cool. And my mom immediately slapped me. She grabbed me by my hair, screaming, what is wrong with you? Dragged me over to my room and told me not to come out. What was the big deal? I thought, my mother has never acted that way before. When I emerged an hour later and asked why I was being punished, can I hang out with my friend? She said, no, your friends went home because Jeff was so upset over Princess Diana's death. Oh, boy. And then he says...
Why did
you have to die, idiot woman? That was the day I forever hated the royal family for ruining an epic sleepover. And when I found out, my best friend was gay.
Oh, that's a great story. That's a great story.
A hell of a story. And that is one that you'll never forget for Princess Diana's death. I fucked up the buttons, as I always do.
Idiot woman.
I'm an idiot man.
Idiot man.
That's Sarah.
I recognized it immediately.
Yeah, I'm sure. Did you? I saw your face have like...
Well, first I heard the millennial pause where you're like, go. And she was like, Idiot man. I know exactly how that was filmed.
There was one time where I was hovering over the button about to push it, and she just said it literally exactly the same way when she was sitting there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
when
yeah,
she was
yeah, here.
Woo, that made my brain explode.
Can you play it again? I want to hear the pause again.
There's... Idiot man.
There is a pause. So oh, good. Boy. I think I wonder if that was an editing thing or if that was, in fact, Sarah's pause. Today's Josh Potter Show is brought to us by the Game Time app. Boy, oh boy, my favorite app on my phone. And it sure came in handy this weekend. I'll tell you in a second. But you know that there's a ton of things to think about when you're buying event tickets, like whether the seats are even going to be good or is it going to cost as much as your rent? I mean, maybe there's another thing out there you think maybe they have cheaper tickets on this one. Well, you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff anymore. All in prices here on the Game Time app show you your total up front, and Game Time makes it easy to buy great seats that don't break the bank. So there's no like surprises or anything like that, and you can see the view from your seat before you buy it. I just went to spring training while I was in Chandler, Arizona, saw the old Cubbies beat the Kansas City Royals, and boy oh boy, I didn't know anything about Sloan Park. You know, obviously with the Cactus League and the Citrus League, they're all in these little ballparks, and there's no way you're gonna know all these ballparks even if you're an avid, unless you've gone to all of them. I have no idea what's going on at Sloan Park. Thank God for the Game Time app. It had a view, and I knew exactly what I was going to be looking at, where I was sitting on the baseline. It was perfect. And I mean, you could Google Sloan Park all you want. People aren't taking 360 views of it the way that they are some of the major league parks. So even some of the smaller ones, Game Time's got great views for you, and you can see it right there on the app. And they have deals on last minute tickets right up to the start of the event, and the deals even continue for an hour after it starts if you're a real procrastinator. And you can even try their zone deals where you pick the section in Game Time picks the seats, giving you huge savings. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code Potter for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code Potter, that's P-O-T-T-E-R, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. Well, next up, I have a thing. Now, I'm not sure how to handle this or talk about it necessarily. I had five people in the last week send this to me.
Okay.
And I watched it, mm-hmm. and I have a bit of a backstory. I knew immediately what it was upon turning it on, and I go, oh, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say five people send it to me, you might be thinking at home, well, that's not a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a lot of people to send you something. But when there's only like, I think on it right now, currently, what, 700 views or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot for 700.
That's views. A lot for 700 views, especially people. There was only one roach out there that I know very well. Savvy Sosa sent it to me. He comes to all my gigs. He's one of the most hardcore roaches in the history of time. He sent it to me. He's the only person I knew that sent it to me. It was randoms, okay. The other people. So I go, huh, okay, that's funny that this is coming up again. And what it is, you see, is Al Madrigal recently did a set. Al Madrigal's a comedian, used to be on The Daily Show. He used to do stand-up. I don't know if he still does.
Is this
does
him
stand-up.
Right here?
No, that's
okay,
not him. You'll see him.
Say,
he's about
the wrong
to
guy.
Be introduced.
He's the guy with the glasses.
Yes, you don't have to pull up a picture. We're going to see his face.
Okay, okay.
So, a little backstory here.
Mm-hmm.
About literally 10 years ago, it was 2013, 2014, I opened for Al Madrigal.
Okay.
I was actually emceeing, and John McKeever was the middle. John McKeever, of course, of Gillian Keeves
okay.
fame.
Okay.
He's a writer for that, obviously, now. And so it was the three of us on the weekend, and I was the MC. And, you know, I'm the local MC. I'm on the radio. A lot of guys shit on local MCs. I mean, I'm a headliner now. I'd never shit on the local MC, but it's obviously people that, you know, are new in comedy. They're usually a young kid. Sometimes they can be probably annoying or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. Most of the time they're sweet and whatever. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the radio also. So there's always like a thing about like the comic from the radio. Here we go. And then I'd have to like perform well to get them to be like, oh, okay, he's mm-hmm. decent or whatever. So I'm working with Al Madrigal on this weekend in particular. And I just got past to be a middle, but I was taking an MC weekend because I've taken every work I could.
Mm-hmm.
But so I opened for him. The weekend's fine. The shows are great. Saturday night, I was like, hey, I'm meeting some girls at this bar. Do you want to come? And he was like, yeah, okay, sure. Why not? You know? So he comes with me. And it's obvious when he meets these girls that he's like, what the hell are these girls doing with Josh. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So he was like, how did you meet? You know, and a very funny story happened, because the way that I met this girl was at a bar one night. She came up to me and she goes, take your dick out. And I was so like flummoxed in that moment, like a pretty girl asking me to take my dick out at a bar. I was like, do I do it? Like, I didn't know what to do and I didn't do it. And then I got drunk and later at the night I walked up to her and I said, do you still want me to take my dick out?
No. Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah.
And she like laughed. And then we ended up like hanging out a bunch after that. So she was there with her friend and Al asked her and she told him this story. And then he like didn't believe it. And she was like, I'll do it right now. So she walked up to a random guy and did the same thing. She's like, I used to do this all the time. She was a real scallywag, this lady. I loved her. But so she went up and did it again. And the guy actually did it. He like took his dick out and put it like over his wrist like a rich wristwatch.
Earl Skakel just taught me about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it happened. And Al walks up and he goes, guys, I'm so sorry. And he starts talking to me. He's like, I told you. You can't keep doing this. He acted like he was her husband or something. It was okay. Very funny. She yes-anded it, went along with it, and it was very funny. So Al Madrigal started doing a joke about that, which is like cool or whatever. And he did it the next show, I think, because we went out Friday. Yeah, and then he did it the next night. So that would have been Saturday. And I thought, oh, that's cool. He got a joke out of it. Then I see him go on Comedy Central at the time it mattered. And he did the joke. But he added a whole beginning to the joke about how when you go to these dumb, shitty towns like Buffalo, you got to have some weird opener.
No.
And then he just
He shit on you?
Yeah, he laid into me. And I get it. He's trying to set up the joke to be like, why is this girl with this guy? I get it to a degree, but also, fuck you, Al Madrigal.
But also not.
What do you mean?
Also not, why is this girl with this guy?
Well, whatever. I mean, he thinks I'm a weirdo and he, but that's the thing. He painted it in a picture.
He's a comic. He's a weirdo.
Well, he painted it in a way that I was like, do you want to go meet up with some girls?
Yeah.
I don't talk like that, Al. Al, if I wasn't in this vehicle, I would be the most charming man you've ever met. I would fucking make James Bond look like a fucking mongoloid. Okay. So suck my dick for that one. And I'm not butthurt about this. I get what he was doing. Like I said,
but he could have done the whole bit without that.
Well, so here's the thing.
It wasn't necessary. He just wanted to shit on you. And it's kind of like your story with this girl. So not as I'm taking your situation with this girl.
I didn't even think about it in that context. But so anyhow, a couple of weeks go by after that comes out. People are sending me that set. This is you. Because he goes like a guy in Buffalo, short, wonky eye, you know, the whole thing. It's like
you could have started with wonky eye, Josh.
It's only one guy. No, I'm just giving you the laundry list of things that he narrowed it down to me. So, of course, like amongst the local comics, I got told about this. This is, again, 10 years ago. And then a couple of weeks after that, he had at the time, I think he still runs All Things Comedy. Who the hell knows? I don't know what's going on with that over there. But he used to at one point run it with Bill Burr. So they had like an All Things Comedy live podcast where it was a panel of people. And it was Burr. It was Al Madrigal. Tom was on it. Tom Segura. And I had just worked with Tom for the first time, like just before he taped that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Al brings this story up and he starts shitting on me. And Tom goes, oh, you're talking about Josh. He's great. And then Al's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like in this podcast, he you could tell he didn't want to like have me be complimented in any capacity.
Oh, I want to see that.
So, I mean, that one was like, and Tom like kind of just stopped him in his tracks. And I had barely known Tom. Like we literally started working together like after that. So all this time, you know, that happened 10 years ago. All that happened 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So just last week, I'm sitting there, I'm getting Savvy Sosa sends me this thing. Oh, a bunch of other randoms send me this thing.
You're edging me with.
So evidently this, I don't know what this was for. It's called The Presidents of Comedy. At the Largo. Now, if it's at Largo, we know I'm never going to go there because it's all the East Side comics kind of thing. It's alt comics. So I don't really know these people. I don't know these people. Really.
Sorry.
But it's the
alt comedy is one of the worst things to ever happen to humanity.
Well, these guys are all.
I would rather alt comedy end than the war.
These folks, though, were on, I guess, the show Veep. Is that correct? You know?
Yeah. I think this is their like podcast that they're rewatching Veep on. And I don't know if this is like a live show, but I think Presidents.
Yeah, because they just do sets. on this. They don't rewatch it. So anyway, Al Madrigal is doing a set.
Don't you hate it when you drop your toast and it falls on the butter side?
Well, so Al Madrigal is doing a set on this thing. And I don't even know if Al's still, I don't see his name coming up in calendars. I don't see, I mean, I'm sure he's still doing great. You know, he was on The Daily Show. Maybe he doesn't have to work anymore. I don't fucking know. But lots changed in the last 10 years for your boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I take some umbrage with the way he sets this up. So let's play it. You could have go to the 55. I wanted to see who him get introduced because he doesn't even get introduced well. And he just walks up there and you could tell he's pissed at whoever this guy is.
I love this. That's I already love funny. That setup.
All right, go ahead.
Do you know the next act?
I honestly don't.
I honestly don't
look
either.
At the run Pause list. It.
That's tough, Al. That's tough. That's tough. Go ahead.
No. Oh, wait, do you actually not know
I
it?
I don't not know either. I do not
oh,
know.
Oh, it's Al Madrigal. He's right there.
Okay, great.
Oh, no, it's Rory Scovel. He's back.
No, Rory's dead. Our next act is
no, they had to cut
also
it.
A president of comedy. You guys ready for another president of comedy?
Yeah.
Well, he's right here. Please give it up for Al Madrigal.
This host, that's a pause it. Aside from all of that, that host is sucks. I mean, wow. I mean, this guy's a president. The whole show's called Presidents of Comedy. Aren't they all presidents of comedy on this fucking show? Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah. I don't mean to nitpick the host.
No, that was one of the worst hosts.
The host is
I've ever seen.
Catching strays here on the... Go ahead.
There's only 12 comics left. Are you peaking right now? No? My name's Al. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming out. How about all the other comedians that you've seen so far? Has everybody enjoyed the show so far? Sir? No? No? You don't like it? There you go. My name's Al. Let's see. I do. I did a lot of comedy. I'm going to say I don't do it really that much. You'll see. But I used to do a shitload of it. Between 2005 and 2014, just as much as you could possibly do. And I traveled all over the country. And I would never bring anybody with me. Huge act. Say, name a massive comedian that's right now touring, big. Jerry Seinfeld brings an opener. He used to go around with Mario Joyner. Right.
Pause real quick. I know a huge act who brings somebody out. His name's Tom Segura, and he brings me, Al. The guy you're about to shit on. Go ahead.
Exactly what they're getting. Not me. I fucking spin the roulette wheel of fucking weirdos.
Oh, hell no.
See what I get. And in a big market, Chicago, San Francisco, where they have other comics and comedy clubs, you might be doing okay. But if you go to a place like Cleveland. Cleveland's a shithole. It is. It's a mistake by the leg. It's a dump. But it's nicer than Buffalo, and I go to Buffalo. Has anyone been to Buffalo? You've been from Buffalo? Buffalo, if you haven't been, don't go. Worse than Cleveland is Buffalo. Buffalo's a dump.
Pause
Buffalo's like if...
I take... by the way, I'm about to get shit on a lot. I take more umbrage with shitting on Buffalo, frankly. I want to put up arms for Buffalo more than myself. Buffalo does not fucking suck, dude. I will fight you for talking shit about Buffalo.
Hell yeah.
Can
dude.
I say that on YouTube?
No, I think so.
For serious, though. Buffalo, I would. I mean, I'm more upset
better
about the Buffalo.
Better or worse than Cleveland?
Way better. I lived in both, actually. I lived in, according to him, two of the shittiest cities in America. And I'll tell you what, Buffalo blows Cleveland out of the water. And yes, I am from there. And yes, I am biased. And yes, I will fight anybody who fucking talks shit about Buffalo. And decide, I mean, I'm about to get shit on quite a bit personally. And I don't even care about that as much as I do the Buffalo slander.
Hell yeah.
Go ahead.
Cleveland ate Detroit. Pounded a bunch of fucking hot sauce and then took a shit in the snow. That's fucking Buffalo, this icy shithole. So I show up at that icy shithole. I go to the Helium Comedy Club.
Very specific, Al.
Who knows who's waiting for me? What's the opener going to look like? Sure enough, little fucking 4'9" weirdo. It's there.
4'9"?
I'm 5'5", Al. I'm 5'5".
Wait,
rewind
it.
We got to hear the detail that he gives.
4'9" is insane.
I mean, he's exaggerating. It's comedy. I get it.
Helium Comedy Club. I show up there, and who knows who's waiting for me? What's the opener going to look like? Sure enough, little fucking 4'9" weirdo. It's there, fucking glasses with 1,000 fingerprints on them. Wonky eye. If he was born in ancient Sparta, he would have definitely ended up on the baby heap. This fucking guy. He's not a member of the 300.
This is coming from a stand-up
Again, hold
comedian.
On, pause it.
I have to say this is coming from a stand-up comedian man, not anyone who's ever fought for anything that matters.
Well, also, I mean, Al, do we look that different?
Yeah, truly. Truly. I wouldn't pick Al as a Sparta fighter as well.
I mean, not only that, it's not even the fact that it's also just like, dude, who could that be? Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, he's definitely talking about you. That's fucked up.
No, it's 100%
about
me. You
opened for him there.
Yeah, it's 100,000,000% about me because
it's also,
I know because
even
the story
if it wasn't
goes.
About you to just shit on your opener.
It doesn't.
It's so mean.
It is so mean.
It is so mean as a headliner to do. It's like these people that have $0 and they're fucking starving. Literally, when you're an opener, a comedian, you have no money. I remember I used to put enough gas just to get to like the next gas station. Like literally, like it would be like $3 in my gas tank.
Oh my God.
Like you have no money. Your life fucking sucks. Then you have Al Madrigal doing this bit.
That 10 years ago, I was destitute. I mean, I was working in the radio, but it was still paying me garbage. And I was staying up all night to do stuff. I'm not boo-hooing the fact that
it's like a CEO calling an intern poor.
This is the thing.
This is what's happening.
We all shit on the openers, but we do it to each other.
Yeah.
In a phone call, we're like, boy, I had this one this weekend. Oh, boy.
No, yeah, you talk about them not to their face.
I would never come on here to a person who's maybe a fan, like, at the end of the day, and also just, like, trying to live their dream and just be like, ugh.
This is the same energy as leaving a bad YouTube comment.
It's weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't shit on my comedy, but I don't know if he does or not. But at least maybe that's the thing. Like if I were to talk to Al about this, he would be like, I didn't say you were a bad comic. And that's fine. You know, like I said, I get it. I know what I look like. The YouTube comments. This is basically a YouTube comment section based off of me.
Mm-hmm.
But play the rest of it. We'll see how it goes here.
So he goes up, does really well.
Oh, look, I did well. Okay, good.
I'm hanging out backstage, and I used to, this is, again, a while before we knew it was bad for you, but I would drink a Red Bull before I go on stage and get the energy up for the Buffalo, sweet Still. Buffalo crowds. But they don't have any Red Bull in the green room. They have a cases stacked high. I think it was a
Hold
energy.
On 1 second. I just want to... So also, like, to shit on the people in Buffalo that came out to see him.
Yeah.
It's like, these are choices he made. And again, I'm not, like, butthurt about any of these. It's just wild to me that you would be like, I don't know. It's not like anybody watched this, let alone people in Buffalo. So I get it. I guess I get it. But it's like, I don't know. It's just that just makes me go, this guy is an asshole. But I'm just saying, like, this is from
I have
the...
nothing against Al Madrigal. I don't need to be in another YouTube beef. I just
yeah,
got out
true.
Of one this week.
Well, I mean, it's really one-sided at this point, I'll tell you that. Because, again, I'm not even sure I have beef. I'm not, like, upset about these things. It's just, like, this is from the ethos of
an
asshole.
It's just meme.
Yeah, it's just the ethos of an asshole. I thought I'd talk about it. So play the rest of it. He's still talking shit about... he says I did well, though. That was nice.
Market towards women.
I don't know what this has to do with the
place
joke. But.
Buffalo is. It's like Sacramento... They test shit out on the people. They're like, if they fucking won't drink it in Buffalo, then no one will drink it anywhere. So let's try it out here. And if it gives
That's
them fucking.
Funny.
No, the joke is solid.
And then who gives a shit? They're going to die and kill themselves anyway. Nobody fucking cares about these people. So that's where like companies experiment. So there's a big cases of this energy drink that's pink, marketed towards women called Go Girl. In there, so I pound a fucking Go Girl, and I go out and I have
that.
A great set, and then the little opener.
Little opener.
Typically, I go home happily married man, and you're in Buffalo, and this little opener. He goes, "Hey, we're gonna go meet some girls later. You want to go?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, what Lord of the Rings species is this guy gonna fucking go meet?"
And
elves, hobbits, orcs. What are we getting into?
I do pretty well, Al. I do
and
pretty
we
well.
We go out, and sure enough, these two women that we meet, this little fucking
guy. Can we pause? I will say this. In defense of Josh Potter, I've only seen you fuck hot chicks. Every time you bring a girl around, I'm like, she's hotter than the next. I'll say that.
Well, thank you. And I have to try really hard, folks.
Let me tell you.
You see
Josh
this.
Potter's not getting laid and just slinging around fucking twos.
All the things Al Madrigal said are true. That's not what we have beef with here. It's just like, and everyone knows it. The girls who fuck me know it. Do you think they're bringing it up? We don't have to bring it up. That's all I'm saying. I bring it up enough for all of us collectively. I don't need to be catching strays from Al Madrigal on the presidents of fucking Largo
strays.
Or whatever the fuck. Go ahead.
Hot chicks. This two women are, and I asked to investigate. And I go, so how do you guys know each other? And they turned out to be Disney princesses. They were Disney on Ice, because that's what they do up there,
fun.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Disney on Ice chicks. And was Cinderella. And I say to Cinderella, I go, how do you guys meet? How do you meet this? How'd this human booger fucking meet these two
we
hot
We get
chicks?
It, Al. I'm ugly.
And this
it's
was
getting
the
kind of funny now.
No, this can you pause it for a second? This joke is great. That's what I said. I go, the joke about meeting the women and being like, he could have put any context in front of that. Been like, I know this comic and let's just say he's not great looking, blah, blah, blah. Like he could have laid into me
he
slightly.
He could have just said, he could have not even made it a comic. He could have been like, man, right. The people in Buffalo are crazy. Right. Last time I showed there, I met this guy.
Right. And like now, I mean, you could even reference my name in it, Al. I'd be less offended. You know what I'm saying? Like. Just to be like some scab that
this
opened for me
long,
in Buffalo, as if I wouldn't. It doesn't go.
This
all
is
the
an 8-minute bit about how you're ugly.
Exactly.
That's
needless.
Crazy.
Needlessly, you know, and to the point where Al,
well,
regular strangers out there.
Can I tell you something?
Five people of the 700 that watched this set of yours, they fucking knew that it was me. So I mean, I don't know. Maybe it serves you. To maybe reference, I'm not saying I want you to reference me in the joke. I'm just saying maybe you think about it a little differently the next time you maybe tell a joke about one of your openers who's kind of caught up a little bit, you know?
Ooh.
Kind of caught up a
and
little bit.
And the fact that he knows you did well, he should know that you're going to grow.
In terms, yeah, just maybe.
I wouldn't make fun of a funny opener.
I'll tell you this. That weekend, we were at a bar, and I think it was McKeever and him were at the bar, and they overheard a guy call them the F word, the bad one that we can't say on here because we'll get
funny.
The channel taken off. No, no, no. The one that insinuates maybe they're gay.
Oh.
So,
fruity.
Yes, that the other one too. Yes, there's very a lot of synonyms here. But when that person did that, he overheard. He goes, oh, what that? Like McKeever said, oh, I just heard that guy call us that word, you know. And so Al Madrigal goes, huh. He walks up to the guy. And I thought this was cool. He walks up to the guy, shakes his hand, and he's like, I'm Al, I'm in town doing comedy this weekend. Then he turns to the side, he goes, hey, just maybe before you call somebody that you think about maybe them overhearing you. And he gives him this like slow, like psychotic kind of like lecture about it, which I thought was dope because the guy was like, oh, I'm sorry. But Al, keep that same energy and think about that when you're talking shit about one of your openers who's maybe caught up a little bit. And I'm not threatening anything. There's nothing I can do to Al's career. I'm not in show business. And as you've pointed out, I'm not physically menacing. So empty as they may be, I'm also not quite all there, Al. So maybe you think about that and that maybe you'll see one of these openers down the line before you talk shit about them.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm not even talking. Again, you did it all. You're in show business. You're in Hollywood. But in terms of YouTube, judging by this video and judging by the podcast you have, this is the most views that Al Madrigal's gotten in a long time. Maybe think about that before you shit on one of the openers next time you're in a club. Let's get into sports. What do you say?
Oh, my God.
I mean, am I wrong? Her face, folks.
I didn't know what I was getting into.
I'm sorry that I dragged you into it. I needed a sounding board to know if I was an insane person, though, for
no, I mean, it's,
thinking
it's,
these things.
It's fucking nuts, dude. I'd have to bring it up if it happened to me.
Right. Are you you're not going to catch any strays. Don't worry.
I mean,
you're just here as my sounding board.
I don't care.
I know. Your jaw dropped, though. That's why.
My jaw did drop. Like, I can't. Like, the situation was fun, but I'm not worried about.
It was funny.
I'm not worried about any threats from a man.
I'm not worried either. I don't think there's threats.
Kill me. Block me. Blacklist me. Do what you got to do.
I just think it takes a little, being a little more couth, Al. That's all. Just being a little more couth.
A little couth. You know? You know what it is, though?
I got to hear about this, dude.
It's that the chicks were so hot and he really couldn't be like, why can't I do that regularly?
No.
And it's so much so that he had to write a fucking bit about it. Like, literally, that all
He's got a wife and kids and shit. He's been married a long time. He's not, worried about, getting pussy or whatever. So, it's not that.
Okay, sure.
Well, then why did he go meet the girls?
Yeah, why did he go to meet the girls?
He just was hanging. I think that's why, now that I heard it again, I think that's why I told the energy a drink part of it. Because he's like, why else would I go out? Like, I should be tired or whatever, but I'm not tired because I pound one of these.
Of course, it's an easy thing to say when your wife is going to watch the joke you're saying.
Anywho, sports news.
I'm just looking at it as a Puerto Rican. I'm like, wait a minute. Now you're saying something else. I'm like, wait a minute.
And
hold
a
on.
Woman, yeah.
So he drank a Go Girl so he could stay up and watch you fuck chicks. He was so disgusted by you, he wanted to watch you get chicks. I don't get it.
Well, he wanted to see what kind of mutants crawled out of the sewer to come.
Sure, that's what everybody wants after their shows, to go watch people they don't want to look at.
Well, that's the thing. In the moment, I wasn't obviously the girls or whatever. Obviously, we know that. And it was like, I'm a good hang.
You know that.
So yeah. It's like, you're acting like I was some fucking, and I was the best case scenario for you in Buffalo. Let me tell you that.
That he should have appreciated a little.
That's what I'm saying. Like, appreciate the fact that you got a good one. And there's ways to still call me a disgusting, as you put it, booger of a human without being such a piece
booger
of shit.
Booger of a human, so mean.
Anywho, though. In the sports world, this is a fun video. Let's cleanse our palate with little Jerry Jeudy. He was just traded to, I do believe, the Cleveland Browns. And so he's been doing a lot of press conferences. And sometimes in these press conferences, folks like to volunteer information that necessarily has nothing to do with football. So go ahead.
My last name, Jeudy. People sometimes call me short for Jew, like one Jew. So I just got a Jewish star. So
what?
I'm not Jewish, though.
Play it again, so
people sometimes call me short for Jew, like one Jew. So I just got a Jewish star. So
yeah, we don't Jewish. Need to hear it a third time.
That's insane,
right?
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody was like, Jerry, I noticed the
I like that
star
comment.
Of David on your.
I like that
chest.
Comment What's that says say? Not Jewish, but the drip is real.
Yeah. I mean, he's a drippy fella, but yeah, no, I don't know what the question was that led up to that. If they were like. Yes, Mr. Jeudy, I noticed you have the Star of David around your neck. Is there anything you want to say to the people of Israel, now that are going through what they're going through? And then he just went into that. That
he's
was
like,
from,
they call me Juju. Yeah,
that's what he is. He's like,
that's about it.
He's like, my name's Jeudy, so they call me Jew. And I thought the star was dope. I mean,
well, you know what? People maybe should take things less seriously. If he thinks the star is dope, let him wear it.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Why are people up their own ass? Can't we wear the? I'm going to wear the Star of David. I like that star.
It's a slippery slope. There is one. It's not a star, but it looks like a wonky star that someone could go, that looks pretty cool, and hang that one up around their neck. And then it's all of a sudden not so cool. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck it. Let him wear it.
You think people should just wear swastikas because they're neat looking?
I think people should wear whatever they want.
That's so, what a blissful ignorance, although perhaps not, because if you did just think a swastika was just like this cool symbol, you're like, oh man, I'm going to make my band have that as a symbol.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And then you got it tattooed, or you have a flag up in your house. The flag looks dope.
Yeah.
I've said it time and time again. The ISIS flag goes hard.
It
goes hard.
It.
Oh, pull up an ISIS flag.
The ISIS name goes hard. ISIS?
Well,
that sounds like someone comes fucking in the winter and takes you out. Dude.
ISIS fucked up a lot of pretty girls' lives because I knew so many girls with cats named ISIS.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden the terrorist group
became a thing. I knew girls named ISIS.
Exactly. It's not on the name of the most popular names list any longer. There it is right there.
ISIS,
you know,
ISIS goes
I've never seen it with this symbol in the center with the white symbol that looks like silly. I've only seen it black with the words on top. I don't know what the words mean.
Yeah, but it's scary.
But it kind of goes hard. Yeah, it's scary. It's like a pirate flag or something. What's it say?
I have one of those covered in blood.
Oh, my. Yeah, we got Chuck here in the crowd. And he's murdered a few ISISes.
No, I haven't, but it was given to me.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm sorry. No, he's. I didn't mean to give you a stolen, valor upon you.
He got it given as a gift.
Yeah.
ISIS bloodied flag.
Can I have it? Just hang it up in my stream room.
He puts it on our bed every night. It's a little decorative end piece bed blanket.
What's that say there?
What'd you the ISIS say? Flag says no God but God, and then Muhammad is the messenger of God. So three,
they added that
three
second
gods
part.
On the,
that
on
first
the
part
God
goes
three
hard.
Times in one flag is that
Yo,
goes hard.
There's no God.
I'm
but,
scared.
There's no God but God is bars.
That is. That actually is. Yeah, you're right. I should put that behind a beat. There is no God but God.
That's wild. Okay, so next story we have is a
that's
wild
great.
One. This one is Aroldis Chapman. Now, Aroldis Chapman
what?
Used to be a closer. Aroldis Chapman. His name is Aroldis.
Oh. Yes,
and his last name's Chapman. He's a pitcher for Major League Baseball. He used to be a pitcher for the Yankees. I don't know where he ended up because here's the thing. He's had some troubles. He slapped a lady with a gun, allegedly, I do believe.
Slapped a lady with a gun is the nicest way you could say pistol whip someone.
Yeah, he slapped a lady with a gun. I mean, he could have done some other things with the gun that would have been worse probably, but he slapped her with it and got it, you know. And then also he just like.
Imagine having not enough self-control not to hit a lady, but enough self-control not to shoot her. It's such a fine line, dude.
Well, it's psychotic because then you could be like, I could have shot you with this, but I slapped you because I love you.
That would have gotten me. Ding, point for you.
So can you Google real quick if that's if I've made all that up, but Aroldis Chapman domestic abuse. Let me just make sure he did have, because I'm quite positive. You think I try to do research on this program. Yes, fired gunshots. My bad.
After he choked his girlfriend. You know, they say that if a guy chokes you during abuse, it's like over a 90% chance he will kill you eventually if you stay with him.
Because it's bare hands?
Yeah. It's like it's if it gets to that point, it's like he's probably going to kill you.
Less of a crime of passion. So maybe he didn't slap her. He just fired the gun in the air and was like, this could be you.
Choked her and pushed her against the wall.
Okay. So he did something.
8 gunshots in the air.
He had to reload. Probably.
That's a lot. He was like, hold on. Took like 3 minutes. She's getting impatient.
So Aroldis Chapman's trying to change his image a little bit. And so he's making a video here with his mother. Let's see if this changes. If it Aww. Makes you go like, oh, that's sweet or something, you know. See if you still think he's capable of murder.
Oh! Why is he doing that to his mother?
Is there sound on this there? No,
it's on.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Something really dark has happened in that household.
Oh, that's what you've deduced? Now, because I've given you the chicken before the egg, now you're seeing this and you're going, oh, something
bad. Oh, he definitely
bad.
Fucks his mom if he does that.
Really?
You don't, have you ever seen anyone do that to their mother?
No, my hands don't go anywhere near there.
I tense up when my mother hugs me.
Yeah, my mother and I hug as if we're at a school dance.
And why is she so okay with it?
I don't know if she can't move. I thought maybe she was an invalid. She looks like she's trying to get his hand out of there, but he's really cupping too. I mean, this is, can we even show this? This looks pornographic.
Why is he doing that to his mother?
No one seems to know. And this tweet comes to us. Can you see the context of the top there? Can you scroll up? What does it say? Because it's from something else. I mean, this thing was spread around.
The tweet just says, stop that. Stop that right now. And that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, get it off the screen.
Please,
golly.
Stop squeezing your mother. If you can't see it and you're just listening, he's just squeezing his dear old mother's titties on the couch. And she's letting it happen. Those two have slept together.
Yeah, that's true. If you're listening at home, we didn't even describe what was occurring. And thank you to Kim for describing it. Yes, they were laying on couch under blankets in the middle of the day, by the way.
This in a living room.
And he's just honking her breasts and like giggling.
He's titty honking.
Really getting in there. And then he would like go down to her, do that thing where you go her down stomach. To the stomach and then cup.
Yeah.
Underneath.
And then cup underneath and then honk again. He honked at least 6 times.
He's really getting
video.
It. It's what you do with girls that have large breasts and you're really getting a feel. You know what I'm saying? It was really like, it wasn't just like douche, douche, douche. You know what I mean? He was grasping and really. I'm glad we
said. He said it was an innocent family moment where he was joking that he was a mommy's boy and she couldn't wean him from breastfeeding.
Hilarious joke, by the way, there, Aroldis. That's a good one. Mom, let's do a bit. I still want to breastfeed. Mom. And that's better. He didn't make it better.
He didn't make it better.
It's an LOL. I'm a mommy's
I think
boy.
There's a connection to whatever happened with him and his mom for that to be okay and him being angry with women that love him.
Yeah, he's like, you're not my mom!
Yeah. Why am I hard if you're not my mother? He's like all confused. I get hard with you? You didn't even breastfeed me. You never breastfed me. Oh, that'd be a good metal song. You didn't even breastfeed me.
Oh my God, the Mommy's Boy metal songs.
You never breastfed me. Count it down.
That's gross.
The aggressive suck.
That was Kim doing suck noises for you folks listening at home.
That song's called Suck My Mom.
Suck My Mom. I miss your tit. That's a good one.
I miss your tit.
Yeah.
I miss my mom's tit.
Let's get to one more news, sports story before we get to the news. It's from our buddy Russell Wilson here. Now, this might be a little too inside for you, Kim, but we've been following Russell Wilson for the whole entirety of this show's existence. I mean, it has been something we've been back and forth on. Recently, he was just traded to the he signed a free agency contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who just traded for Justin Fields. So now I thought, ooh, Russ is going to have a little competition. How's he going to react? The Steelers came out and announced Russell Wilson will be starting this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So let's watch this little. He used to, when he got traded to the Broncos, though, he used to make videos and he would end it awkwardly by being, Broncos country, let's ride. And the videos went viral because he was so, it's like a robot was saying it or something. It was very strange. And so he has a video to the Steelers nation now, the fans of the Steelers. And in it, I get the feeling that he wants to say, let's ride so bad. It's like almost like you can see it on his face. He's trying not to say, let's ride.
Okay.
Go for it. Let me see if we can.
And that's the thing the other team says.
Yes.
Okay.
What's up, Steeler Nation? Just signed, baby. Fired up to wear the black and gold. Here we go.
It was like he was about to be like, let's ride. And then he's like, here we go.
Yeah.
So I wonder
if
we're
going to. He's got that stepdaddy control with his mouth.
Well, you know who he's the stepdaddy to?
Oh, yeah. Future's baby mom.
Oh,
Sierra.
Look at you. I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Let me see you one, two, step.
Stepdad. Thank you.
Oh, boy. But I thought that was fun. We're going to hear him say, let's ride at some point. We're going to catch him on a mic saying, let's ride. Keep your eyes peeled for that, folks at home. Send it in. Anything you see. If Russell Wilson lets a let's ride slip this year,
so
we're
going to
be on top of it. You think so?
Might catch me saying it.
Oh, all right.
I'm just kidding, Chuck. I had to get it in. He's not that cute.
We've speculated.
He looks like a boy that became a man. I can't explain it.
Yeah, I get what you're
saying. He still has boy face.
Well, he just seems like Russell Wilson seems like he's AI. And learning
how to
interact with humans. I bet, yeah, he really
is. He seems slightly autistic and like he's just like a gentle, sweet.
I don't think that he's that gentle and sweet. I'm going to go with there's something dark down underneath.
Ooh.
But we haven't found it yet. We're going to keep searching. And thank you to those Roach reporters. Tim Wing sent in the Jerry Judy thing, and Samuel Grant Whitman sent in the Cecil Wilson thing. So I appreciate both of you. JoshPotterShow@gmail.com is where you can send in yours. This one was sent in by literally a dozen people. A dozen people sent this story, and it is a big semen terrorism scandal.
No, dude, this is actually my OCD fear.
You hate semen terrorism? Well, I mean, have we talked about semen terrorism with you?
This
here?
Is like one of
don't
my worst.
Don't show her these things. I don't want her to know the headlines before.
Oh,
we
it's
get to
too
it.
Late. I caught it, and I'll never forget it. I'm
you have to go through
so
the article.
Upset. Charles, listen to this.
A Fort Collins man currently facing 14 counts of indecent exposure is under investigation for allegedly ejaculating on food while he was an employee at a Safeway. What is Safeway? Where is that at?
That's like a grocery store.
In Colorado.
Food that people are eating and buying as their groceries, dude.
Fort Collins Police Services said the investigation began in July of 2023 when the department received multiple reports of a person who was masturbating outside businesses in view of employees. Fort Collins Police say many of the incidents happened at coffee shops. In at least one case, the victim was a juvenile. I don't know how that happened. They didn't explain that, but it was, maybe just witnessing it outside of the coffee shop. Investigators identified Stephen Masalta, 32, as the suspect. Masalta was arrested for 14 counts of indecent and exposure, blah, blah, blah. In an update posted to the department's YouTube channel Thursday, Chief Jeff Swoboda said multiple pieces of evidence were collected during the February search. Multiple pieces of evidence in semen terrorism. What could that be? Swoboda said that investigators
found videos. You know it's a lot of cum when it comes in pieces.
Yeah. Solids. Swoboda said investigators found
like sheets
found
of ice, dude.
videos that showed Masalta masturbating and ejaculating onto multiple food items at a Safeway grocery store.
Which food items?
Where he was employed. That's what I would like to know. Swoboda said the food was not commercially sealed. So I'm thinking produce.
I'm thinking, he's coming on the produce, dude.
They may not be commercially sealed, but nature has protected you folks with a lot of rinds and shells, skins.
I feel like it's pastries.
I feel like it's the hot food section.
What would you prefer? Oh, you're saying like, does a Safeway have a hot food section? Or is it one of those airplane hangar-esque grocery stores?
I feel like it does have a hot food section.
I feel like there's like a shitty wing bar.
And you know, I'm always very scared of those because I've seen a few videos of homeless people just eating the soup straight out of it.
Yes. I've seen people like with ladles just go up and like drink it out of the ladle. Not even like steal it. They're just drinking it out of the ladle. Yeah, that's, and it's always
Can you steal cleaner?
I love a good food, a good soup bar too, and that's what makes me sad and scared. There is a sneeze guard. Do you think that would protect they got to get one for underneath?
Yeah, they do.
A jizz guard.
A jizz guard, yeah. No cum in our soup.
Well, what do you think the least worst case scenario is like?
He came on some oranges.
Right, because you peel an orange.
Yeah, and then you're just peeling cum.
Yes.
And then getting probably still a little
Sure, you're touching it or whatever.
And it's getting on your nails and then you're licking your hands when you eat the orange. Yeah, sure.
How much seeps through an orange's rind, you think?
Oh, I don't think cum can seep through a rind.
I don't think so either. I don't think it can beat through that.
No.
Not through a rind.
Police. I think if the cum was that strong, we'd have a lot less infertility. Like if it was seeping through orange rinds,
it'd be
acidic, dude.
Yeah, we would have a lot of poison oranges for sure. You never know. At Safeway, the safety of our customers and associates is our top priority, and we are
deeply
concerned.
Did someone bleach this apple?
Yeah, you would notice it on produce a lot easier than you'd notice it in the hot foods
hot
part.
Soup. If I were going to come in something, I'd do it in something people wouldn't notice.
You said pastries. Where are pastries just bandied about loose?
You can open it up and like get like a donut or like a Danish. You've never like gotten a pastry.
Like in those drawer things you're talking?
Oh.
Yeah, like a cabinet.
I guess.
I'm just picturing like
a glazed donut.
He opens that. Exactly. He's got that cabinet. He opens it up. It's all plexiglass and he just all into the plexiglass. So many people sent that in. Boy, oh boy, Safeway. I mean, we've heard about people, by the way, in other instances of semen terrorism, taking syringes of cum and injecting them into the produce.
No. You haven't.
Cum is everywhere. You have to just... This is what
I told you.
This is what I said. Do you want to let the terrorists win? No. You have to accept the fact that we're just ingesting cum every day on everything.
We're
touching railings. We're touching doors. We're touching handles. Cum is on everything.
We're all eating cum constantly. Constantly.
Yes, constantly. Don't let the semen terrorists win. You can't let the fear of ingesting cum ruin the way we go about our lives as a society.
I hate it.
Well, I don't like it either. I would love to live my life cum free. Frankly, I think everyone would. But at the end of the day, we have to accept
that we come and it's
what
gonna get
we cannot control.
Yeah, it's like trash. It's gonna pile up somewhere.
Indeed. There will be cum.
There will be cum.
Well, let's get to one more before we head out the door, shall we?
All right.
This one, a little cleansing of a palate. This one is science getting out of control.
Okay. Crazy.
And this was sent in by Lucas Casillas. An 80-year-old rancher pleaded guilty to creating a huge Franken-sheep he named the Montana Mountain King. Oh no, this one involves sperm too. He got sperm illegally imported from Kyrgyzstan.
Not hard.
So we got, here we are talking about how there's sperm everywhere. This guy's flying
importing
it in from Kyrgyzstan.
You can even find cum in Kyrgyzstan. That's broad it is.
That rare Kyrgyzstanian cum.
Kyrgyzstanian cum.
Over 10 years, Arthur Jack Schubarth of Vaughan, Montana, bought sperm and testicles from the world's largest sheep, the Marco Polo Argali, and secretly created cloned embryos to impregnate his how do you pronounce that? Ewes?
Ewes.
Or is it ewes?
Ewes.
Never know.
I think.
Yeah, they're what? And that's a bird, yeah?
It's a female sheep.
It's the sound I make. Sheep. It's the sound I make when you talk about all this cum.
Yes, that's how many. That's the sound at home that everyone's echoing in their cars as they listen.
We're all ewing right now.
So what he wanted to do, you see, is he wanted to take this Marco Polo Argali. Google that. I don't know. It's quite the name. I don't know why they're named after the childhood game or the explorer. But he also then took his female sheep and wanted to make his own giant fucking sheep.
This guy's a freak of nature.
That's the sheep right there. These are the natural ones. So he's like, I want to make sheep like that.
But bigger.
I wonder if I can make my sheep as big as that one. I'm going to put some of this.
So he crossbred them?
Yeah, he's taking Kyrgyzstanian jizz and balls. And he's, I don't know what you get the balls for.
You got to hold in the jizz so it's fresh.
Is that how they come in? They just come in like a jar?
It's like keeping a baby in the womb after it's born and the placenta before you pop it.
Sheep jizz doesn't come in a jar.
Sheep jizz comes from Kyrgyzstan. No matter what.
No one knows that song when I sing it.
Bug Juice?
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that funny? Core memory.
I remember the names of the kids on Bug Juice.
Golly, let's talk about that later. So anyhow, along with five co-conspirators, he then sold the sheep to game ranches in Texas, forging their medical records to get them out of the state, and sold sperm from his prize, Montana Mountain Kings, to other ranchers. So he's doing like black market sheep breeding, and he's talking like, listen, I got these Montana Mountain King sheep. You never even seen one of these. You get a whole fucking, you could put sweaters on the back of a whole sixth grade class with the fucking wool on these fuckers. I can't imagine what else they're trying. I don't know what they're trying to get out of these things. Sweaters or do you eat sheep?
Yeah, what's the point of making huge sheep besides like oddly getting off to it?
You see,
like, my sheep are big.
You know, obesities run rampant in this country, and frankly, we just don't have enough wool. We got to make the sheep bigger.
We need more wool.
Yeah. Less sheep, more, you know, wool. I don't know.
It said he was trying to create larger sheep so he could sell them off to shooting ranches in Texas.
That's fucked.
So just bigger targets? Like, how about you just get better at shooting your fucking gun, you dork?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want smaller sheep? I'm making micro sheep for target practice.
That's good. Quick micro sheep.
Yeah. That'd be cute if a little sheep was just like, here,
we can put it on
like,
the table.
Oh, it's my micro sheep.
That's what they should work on.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I want a mini farm, dude. I want a little pig, a little hen. I want baby chickens. I want the eggs to be a drop on my pinky.
They'd live like, by the way, these micro animals that we're talking about, as cute as they would be, they would die every 2 weeks.
That's all right. Even better. I don't commit too long to a pet.
You know how much jizz we have to ship in from Kyrgyzstan to get that many micro sheep, though? You're buying them in 12 packs?
You buy one jizz, you can split it up into 400
micro sheep. That's true. Get on it. Get on the technology. Was there anything else you saw in there that you thought was interesting there, since you read ahead?
I couldn't tell. It doesn't say really anything else. It's
That's what I thought. I thought that was the end of it there. Well, what do you say we do one more, since we have a couple more seconds? This one, you're going to like this because you like a scam. I think this is going to tickle your fancy. An audit of a Lancaster County Wendy's found that a former general manager allegedly stole $20,000 from the eatery by creating a fake employee.
Oh, yeah. I do like this.
According to the charging documents, Linda Johnson allegedly clocked in and out as a ghost employee at the Mannheim Township Wendy's from July 2021 to April 2022, then had paychecks go to her bank account. Paychecks from the fake employee showed police that almost $20,000 here, $19,898.15 was allegedly stolen by Johnson, who also created 128 shifts for the worker.
Nice.
Detectives later learned that Johnson would be the only one. Shit. My thing just went blank.
Who could create the shifts?
Would be the only one who could create the shifts. An insurance company also reported that they lost more than $15,000 from the theft. That's funny. So she's like getting health insurance on the fake employee.
I love it.
But how do you use the deductible?
How'd she get caught?
Well, when other managers questioned about the worker, police said some could not remember working with them ever. While one reported that they met him once and that Johnson did provide a time card for the employee but never worked with him. Johnson admitted to police during a video call in April that she created the employee and had paychecks set up to go to her Cash App account.
Oh,
now that's, hey, what a fucking, that's not an idiot. I think that's a great scam.
Why would she admit it to the police on a Zoom?
I feel like it's one of those scams that's so genius you want to tell the world.
Yeah, you're like, I just wanted you to fix this loophole, you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Turns out that it's like, wouldn't it be funny if she's like, I'm going to do this so I can get the Netflix doc.
Dude, I got a promo code for a free therapy for 2 weeks one time, and they didn't take my promo code away for 2 years.
You just kept doing it?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's funny. I have, like, it's not that I have a guilty conscience, but I am, like, a fucking rube. I wouldn't even think to try the promo code twice.
Mm. Well, I'm like, you're not, it sounds like you're not very Puerto Rican.
By the way, also, I cannot steal. It's like even the smallest
thing. I'll do it for you.
I cannot do it.
Really?
I get like,
you've never stolen from a Walmart. It feels so good to get back.
No, I can't do it. The idea of it gives me like this weird anxiety, and it's not even a fear of getting caught. There's a guilt that I associate with it.
Oh, no.
And when it comes to a corporation, I don't mind. Like,
I only justified steal.
I'd love to steal from a corporation.
I only justified steal. Like, I stole, the last time I stole from Walmart, I had waited in this line to just check out one thing of laundry detergent that I had ran out of in the middle of the night that I needed to do laundry before I flew out for the next day. So I went to Walmart, waited in, there were two people working. So I went to the self-help checkout line. I waited so long. And then when I got to the self-checkout line, what was it? Something happened. I checked it out and
it wasn't working.
No, it was it was a fabric softener, not detergent. Mm. And then I was waiting for them to cancel it. And so I told my sister, go grab the detergent and check it out while we wait for someone to come over here because it's going to be a minute. She checked out the detergent. No one ever came. So I just took the softener.
See, that's it. See, I had a moment.
I call it justified stealing. I've already spent 30 yes. minutes. You owe me at least $8.
You tried, actually.
Yeah.
I had a thing at a hotel, you know, where it was like they have in the hotel like a little convenience store that you can buy like snacks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to buy a Red Bull. And the little self-check, they didn't have anyone working in there. They just had a self-checkout thing. And I went to use it. It was not working.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked all the way out of that thing. And this was at like a resort kind of place. So it wasn't in the same building as the lobby. So I walked all the way to the lobby and I said, the thing wasn't working. Can I just, can I pay for this? And they were like, just take it.
Yeah.
The guy goes, just take it.
Just go, dude. Yeah. Just go. That happened in a hotel room where I wanted a soda from the lobby and there was no one at the front desk. And I just pointed to the camera and went 213. Like, charge that room. Like, what do you want?
That is frustrating when you hear them back there and it's like 3 a.m. and you're like, please just ring up my soda.
Please. Or just like,
you're
I'm
yelling
so
in the back.
Tired.
You're like, 213.
Yeah.
213. Thank you. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
All right.
You think I went too hard on El Madrigal?
No.
I don't think you went hard enough.
You don't think I went hard enough? Again, I don't bother Al Madrigal, folks.
Definitely going to see this. Al Madrigal.
No, go fine. I want
Al Madrigal, depending on what you got coming out, we're cool. We cool.
I did this knowing that he'd probably see it, but I'm saying don't bother the man. That was all I was getting at. Because it's like, again, I know what I look like. I get it.
Josh, you're hot. Stop.
Oh, that was nice of you to say.
You're
I don't
welcome.
Believe you for a fucking second. But anyhow, plug everything you'd like, Kim Congdon. Thank you for being my sounding board for that and for being very funny on the show today.
Oh, yeah. Like I said in the beginning of the pod, Childless MILF on YouTube, Kim Congdon Takeover Pod, This Bitch Podcast. Check out my shows coming out at the Comedy Store this month. On the 27th, I have the comedy dating show Love Fucks on March 27th and April 18th at the This Bitch and Friends at the store. So come buy tickets for those. And thank you guys. And thank you for having me, Josh.
No problem at all. JoshPotterShow@gmail.com is where you can send in all your articles, folks. Send in your sports stories, your news stories, your music. Or you can just tell me about your fucking day or tell me about Princess Diana the way that... did I even give credit to who that was?
Yeah, you did.
In the beginning?
I think.
Oh, my Lord. Well, send it in. JoshPotterShow@gmail.com. I don't think he wrote his name in here.
Oh, shit.
Oh, well. Anyhow, folks... I'm going to be all over the goddamn road. The next one that's big, Huntsville, Alabama, Stand Up Live, April 26th and 27th. Get those tickets now, and then you can see me also in Seattle, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, Houston, Cleveland, Omaha, Des Moines, all these places. Please to be buying tickets to joshpottershow.com, or excuse me, thejoshpotter.com. So many URLs, so many things. You can get all the links in the description of this episode, no matter what you're watching or listening on. And we'll see you next week here on the old program, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Coming to you 11 direct with the roach. We shotgun the beers. Ain't got time for a toast. It's the only place to get my sports like for real, son. He taught us nobody's more sus than Russell Wilson.
Here's the deal, son. Won't find us in Walmart. Josh Potter, keep it frank, kind of like a ballpark. It wasn't nothing talking all that jism. Turns out there's a lot of semen terrorism.
Now it's time we hit him. Bringing Votto to the plate. Roachy, your words for Chase O'Donnell the Great. Let me stop for a second, because it's Ask Marty time, because it's idiocy. You don't want Canada by.
Not a fan of these guys. Gonna damage the rise. Worse than the host known as the Roach. Leaving an idiot woman standing on the side. Or looking like she just tripped into a moat.
I'ma kill this Henny beat like murder. Been in more studios than most have ever heard. I'm pleased to be listening. Hit that like and subscribe. So many Bills hats got the mafia vibe.
A lot to describe like a Roach reporter. Teacher on OF, don't report her. Trying to live life with my mannequin wife and my mannequin kids, if that's my mannequin right.
Been a fan of this guy since the Roach Motel. Couple hundred weeks in, still funny as hell. From the tip cup to back sis and blind eyes, Potter has one of the best shows of all time.
Now watch this drive. Pop a couple tall cans with the Roach King and caught the vibe. Ready to pour more, scurry out the floorboards. Hit like, comment, and subscribe.